Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
This morning at about 6 a.m., the extended football transfer window closed. It's been a transfer window like no other.
Yes, it has. Lots of late deals.
Yes,
you were tracking it all this morning.
I'm confused already. Parallax era happening. But clubs across Europe, of course, badly hit by those lockdowns in the month of March, April and May. And that resulted in leagues shutting down for months. And when they eventually restarted, the fans were not allowed back in.
Yeah, they're expected to return to stadiums, aren't they? Eventually in controlled numbers.
Yeah.
That's supposed to happen this month, but it's been pushed back. And then the clubs are losing money every weekend.
Every weekend, you're right. Traditional big spenders, Barcelona, Real Madrid, they've not been spared. Madrid sold a whole host of players. I believe they've managed to raise about 80 plus million euros, and they declared that they were not going to buy any new players this season. Well, they didn't.
Yeah. And then one thing pundits agree on is that football needs to take radical steps to avoid financial meltdown as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. But where do you begin?
Oh, that's a really good question. Let's find out more from James Walton, sports business group leader, Deloitte Southeast Asia. James, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Elliot. How are you doing today?
I'm trying to be your friend, even though Spurs beat United 6-1, okay?
Oh, gosh. Park it, boys. Park it. Now, it was a bit of a sprint to the finish line for all these clubs, and apparently you were involved in a race yourself. Is that right, James?
Yeah, I was down at East Coast Park with quite a few other people on Sunday night running a very strange London marathon.
A virtual one.
It felt very real, I can tell you that. It just was a little bit different scenery. Yeah.
Yeah. How did it go? It was what your 24th year in a row now?
Yeah, my 24th London Marathon. We had a group of us down there. It's obviously a little bit difficult with safe distancing, so we had to keep the small groups and everything. But we've raised over $21,000 for Club Rainbow, so that's a good thing to be doing. Yeah.
Absolutely, congratulations.
Well done, man. Okay, so let's look at the transfer market: Spanish, Italian, German, English clubs. Which ones, in your opinion, seem to suffer the most? I mean, this morning, apart from the major deal of Thomas Partey moving to Arsenal for £45 million, we saw a lot of loan deals. Some have the option to purchase in a year or two. Federico Chiesa, one of them. What are your thoughts?
So it's been an interesting window. The overall spend is definitely going to be down. The numbers are still being computed, but it looks like it's around about £3 billion in spend compared to the last couple of summer windows have been close to £5 billion. But interestingly, the Premier League is still a big chunk. Last year, the Premier League was £1.4 billion. This year, it looks like it's about £1.2, so it hasn't fallen that much. Serie A spending is still quite high. The league that seems not to be spending, as you mentioned in your intro, is Spain. Mm. And I think this is because they have particular financial fair play rules that are even stricter than the famous UEFA rules, in that basically an independent analyst decides how much money the clubs are allowed to spend on transfer and wages to fit within their revenue projections. And this year, obviously, with COVID, the revenue projections are lower. And as a result, Barcelona, Real Madrid had to sell players to even come in under the targets that were being set for them. So Spain has been more of a selling window than a buying window, definitely.
And yet, James, we're getting some players' values not being adjusted to reflect the market. Let's give the example of Jadon Sancho, $108 to $120 million. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's shown up this window that really there are the haves and the have-nots. And the situation is that for clubs that don't need to sell, and Borussia Dortmund and clubs like Bayern Munich and PSG in France, teams like that, if they don't need to sell, they're not going to sell. And they're gonna stick to their guns, and there's no need for them to reduce fees. But then there are obviously the clubs that do need to sell, some of the smaller teams, and there are bargains to be had. But one of the most challenging factors we mentioned earlier around loans and different deals that have an option to buy later, is that for a lot of clubs, they need the money now. If they are selling, they don't want to be paid in installments. And we've seen a number of deals where clubs are trying to buy on installments, but the clubs that are selling are simply saying, we're not willing to do deals on those terms right now.
Are we missing out things like, I mean, I know it's still very early in the season, but are we missing out things like Brexit, for example? I mean, this morning you've got Manchester United signing this unknown Ivorian winger, Ahmed Traore, but the deal only concludes in January because of work permit issues. Is this something that's going to haunt clubs for the next 6 months?
So there are some interesting things kind of happening over the next 6 months that will affect transfer dealings. The first is Brexit, as you mentioned, but it's still not 100% clear on what the Brexit impact will be on the Premier League in particular. But it's believed that there will be an opportunity that if players are brought in before January, that they will be given a kind of bedding in period, and that any new rules that come in will not be as drastic on those players. The other factors, of course, we're looking at over the next 6 months is, will the fans come back to the stadiums? Because if the fans come back, that affects match day revenue, which for most top flight teams is, you know, 25-30% of their income. So that would be a big boost. And then lastly, what happens, you know, between now and then in terms of word on the grapevine on upcoming TV deals? Because over the last few years, you know, TV deals are always negotiated to 3 and 5 years. And so it gives you a good inclination of what spending you can do. But we're expecting to see over the next 6 months to 1 year that some of the TV deals being renegotiated may not be as lucrative as they were before. And that may affect the club's thinking as they move forward.
Yeah, well, we know that telcos are getting really hit hard by this as well. Yeah. We've been looking a lot at the big clubs. What about the little guys? What about the lower division clubs?
Yeah, it's been interesting. We've seen a couple of teams in severe financial trouble, Wigan, Macclesfield in the lower leagues in the UK. You know, they generally are carrying smaller squads this season. They've been letting players go. And in terms of spending, the English Football League, which is the Division 1 and Division 2 below the Premier League and the Championship, is seeing one of the lowest spends we've ever seen. The Championship spending this year is down from £175 million last year to around £75 million this year. And really, we're seeing that these clubs are tightening their belts, because for many lower league teams, match day revenue makes up 50%, 60% of their income, because obviously they don't have the lucrative TV deals. Their sponsorship deals tend to be a lot less. So simply, if they can't bring fans into the ground, then they can't afford to spend any money.
It's almost as if you can't really pivot your business, as we commonly talk about during this COVID-19 pandemic, right? But are you hearing anything in terms of, you know, clubs trying to take measures to avoid that financial meltdown?
As I say, we're seeing clubs reducing the contracts. We're seeing a lot of clubs reducing down their backroom teams. I mean, Arsenal let go their mascot yesterday, apparently, which was what they needed to do to raise enough money to sign an Atletico Madrid player, apparently. So we are seeing teams taking out loans, borrowing. Tottenham famously took out a large loan from one of the banks in the UK to help fund their stadium costs over the next year or two, although they explicitly said that would not be spent on players. So there's a lot of things happening, and really the next step will be whether or not the Premier League steps in to help the lower division teams. And it looks like at the moment, while the Premier League will not help the Championship, because there's a lot of very rich owners in the Championship. Nine of the Championship teams are owned by billionaires, but there is a feeling that they will step in and help the English Football League, possibly to the tune of around £250 million in the next couple of weeks, just to make sure that those lower league teams can stay afloat and keep playing their part in the ecosystem.
Just very briefly, James, I just want to update you. So Gunnosaurus apparently released by the club, but there's a GoFundMe page launched to bring back. There you go.
Well, we don't want any more dinosaurs going extinct, right? We've got to do what we can.
He's a Spurs fan. He doesn't care. James Walton, Sports Business Group Leader, Deloitte Southeast Asia, on the line with us. James, as always, thank you so much for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.